Oh, Wednesday night. I'm still the pastor of Byersworth Christian Center, even though I haven't been here. Praise God. Hallelujah. When I was at Winter Bible Seminar a couple of weeks ago, it's been 2 weeks, I was walking up to the church facility, and I heard this real raspy woman screaming my name. And it sounded real weird, so I just ignored her, and I just kept walking. And the name got more shrill and more... sounded really weird, so I turned, and I said, well, I guess I'm going to have to acknowledge whoever it is. I turned, and it was Denise Renner. She had a hoarse voice. She come running out, and she says, Pastor, yeah, I knew it was you. I could tell by the back of your head, you know. And she said, why didn't you answer me? And I said, well, to be honest with you, you sound like you were a demon-possessed woman. But I took her inside and got her a real nice up front seat. She wanted one. When they found out it was Denise, they opened the facility up for her and everything. So I thought it was pretty good. But man, I told her, I says, what happened to your voice, Denise? It sounded real horrible. I says, you did sound like somebody that was entertaining wrong kind of company. But she forgave me. Well, it's been so long since I've been here, so I guess I kind of remember what I was teaching you. How to develop our inner man, which is not really too popular of a subject. And this time when I was at Winter Bible Seminar, Dad Hagen happened to touch a lot on this. And so we're going to get on it, and I believe we're going to finish it this Sunday, and... then go on to something else. But just stay plugged in today, if you can. Praise God. Father, as we now prepare to get into this Word, Father, I'm going to trust with my whole heart that Your people will begin to understand. And Father, illuminate their minds to understand, and illuminate my lips to speak forth with clarity so that they grasp what You're trying to get across to them. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the first thing I would like you to do is to turn over to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Of course, Romans was written by the Apostle Paul. Let's go to verse 9. Verse 9, Romans 1:9. It says, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit. Actually, in the Greek, matter of fact, you might have it in your center column, or in my spirit. In my spirit would be more properly translated. For God is my witness, whom I serve in my spirit, in the gospel of His Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. So Paul says that he serves the Lord in his spirit. Turn over to Romans chapter 7. A little further in Romans chapter 7. And let's go to verse 6. Romans 7, 6. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in oldness of the letter. Now I'm going to read it to you out of the Greek language. It says, but now we were discharged from the law, that having died to that in which we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit, not in oldness of the letter. Now, what he's referring to here is the new birth, the born-again spirit that we all inherit when we get born again. He says we live our life now out of that new nature. Everything that we now serve God with is our spirit out of that new nature. And of course, we've covered that quite extensively in the last few Sundays. And we brought out how circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit. He definitely tells us where circumcision takes place. Now, the thing about circumcision I want to clarify real clear to you is that he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, but inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit. And I want to clarify again that when a man gets born again, what happens is that God divides his spiritual man, he divides it from his flesh, so that we can now render our physical man inoperable. In other words, we now have the power, the strength, to dominate our outer man. Because we have been raised, or we have been raised up and developed through this present world by a prince ruler. The Bible calls them prince rulers. Whether they operated through our parents, or whether they operated through nationalities, or whatever. It says when you get born again, God separated your inner man from your outer man, and he deposited his nature in you. And the reason that he performed this is so that your inner man then would have the every chance possible now to come against what he is in the natural and to purge himself from what he is in the natural, or take dominion over his flesh. Most believers today are just trying to play church of how to dominate the outer man without using the inner man. And it is impossible. You cannot dominate your outer man unless you understand how to use your inner man to dominate your outer man with. And so we're going to clarify that when you've got when you got born again, you have a power now, an energy on the inside of you that has everything contained within it to dominate your soul and your body. And that is good news. Now, why is that? Well, first of all, when you got born again, your spirit, being separated from your soul and your body, now has a new nature within it. It does not generate sin anymore. The only person that generates the sin is the life that is found in the soul, that which is found in the soul and in the body. And the only way that that you can be free from that, which makes you so different from an Old Testament saint, is the fact that now you have a spirit that is completely possessed of God, or purchased of the Lord, to where now you can dominate your outer physical man with. And that's why the new birth, why the Old Testament saints and everyone, it said in Peter, I think it was 2 Peter, said that they looked for our generation, our dispensation, wondering what manner of time it would be that the Spirit of Christ, which was in their understanding, would come. So they looked towards our generation. Now we have Christians today that don't enjoy what they've actually inherited from God. And that's where Satan's greatest hour, his finest work, is to keep you from seeing what God has really done to your life. He has set you free from this natural world. You've been born from above. You've been born again. You're not like an Old Testament believer. They didn't have a ghost of a chance because the nature of God was not in their spirits. They couldn't be transformed from glory to glory like you and I can. Praise God. We got that ability. Hallelujah. But it takes us knowing how to yield our inner man to God in order to get the results. And I'm going to tell you, the most difficult thing for the church to understand is, how do I yield myself, use my spirit? How do I yield my inner man to God in order to deliver my soul and body? How do I do that? Well, that's what we've been trying our best to cover. And it's more of a difficult thing than what people understand or realize. But yet, once you've experienced it, it's so simple that a wayfaring fool couldn't err therein. And so I'm going to do my best to try to relate that to you. So right now, what I'd like you to do is turn to Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3. And the reason I'm going to Mark chapter 3 is that we're going to get into Mark chapter 4, like I said we would. And we're going to explain that entire parable out. Because if you don't understand this parable, how are you going to understand all parables? And I want to start in Mark chapter 3. And I want to go to what happened to Jesus. Jesus was being accused of operating with Satan. He's being accused of linking himself up with Satan. And so Satan was casting Satan out. And Jesus makes this statement that if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And I'm going to tell you something. If a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan rise up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand, but hath an end. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he will first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. And boy, Jesus was saying some profound things. Now, Jesus, when he taught, he had to many times bridge both dispensations or generations, because he knew that once the new birth had taken place and the Holy Spirit, who is the teacher of the church, had been given to the church, he's known as the Spirit of Truth. When he comes into the hearts of people, he will expound or explain and bring to our remembrance the meanings of all these things that Jesus taught in parable form. Praise God for that. And what he brings out here in Mark chapter 3, he says, no one can steal the strong man's goods if that strong man is in charge of the house. Well, Satan is a master genius at dividing your house. If he can get you to live more of your Christianity out of your natural man than your inner man, then I got news for you. He can bind you up and he can keep you defeated on a continual basis. He can keep you going in a cycle. He can keep you focused into this natural realm rather than allowing you to go ahead and move on into all that God has promised you and has already done and has already given you. But the thing that he wants to do is he wants to keep the kingdom of God divided in you. And that's what he's referring to here. He wants to make sure that your strong man does not have charge of his house. And I thank God that my strong man is me. I thank God my strong man is what I am spiritually in Christ Jesus. I could care less what my history was. I know what my future is. I don't care what my history was. I know what my future is. I don't care what my history was. I know what my future is. I don't care what kind of history I had. I know my future. I don't care what kind of person I was. I don't care how I was raised. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Present tense. I look forward to what God has for me. Amen. Future tense. How about you? How about you? Are you one of these guys trying to heal your inner child? Are you one of these people trying to get out of your past generational issues? I got news for you. I have been born again. I have a brand new beginning. That word for new birth or new beginnings is actually a new generation in my life. It started on July 11th, 1971 when I got born again. Hallelujah. Amen. History is finished. Future is ready. And I'm going right on into glory. Going right on into glory. But I'm not going to allow the devil to sit and divide the kingdom in me. He's not going to buy my strong man. My strong man is going to keep his house and his goods. Now, people are teaching that the strong man's a devil. Nothing could be more stupid on the face of the earth than go and accuse of what Jesus was talking about you as a person. You have a strong man. Every one of you are strong. You just don't know it yet. But every one of you, you're in charge of your house, not the devil. Hallelujah. What you have to do is you have to get plugged up to the Holy Ghost, and he'll go ahead and he'll give you what you need to strengthen yourself to overcome the works of the devil. And that's what Jesus was saying here. He says, you might accuse me of working with the devil. But the devil's smarter than that. He hath an end when he's fighting against himself. Well, Satan picked that up, and he's now doing that to the church. Right. Not letting the church know what they have possessed. It's a sad day, people. It's a sad day when we as God-given church have definite New Testament principles to live by. Now, he speaks to us one way through his Son, not through the Old Testament, the New Testament. Glory to God. What Christ has given us in glory. Hallelujah. And it's a sad day when we have to go and wallow around in the Old Testament when we can go on into whatever God has for us. New Testament. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's a sad day. It's a sad day. He speaks to me one way today. He speaks to me through his Son. Glory to God. I'll tell you what, I'm so excited about what God's, what's ahead for me and what's ahead for the church. I'm excited about it. Hallelujah. I'm not excited about what's going on out here, but I'm excited about what's going on the inside. Hallelujah. If you're not excited about what's going on the inside, are you somewhere else? Praise God. But for a while there, I was getting real, critical of myself, really down, and I got thinking, well, not too many people are really seeing this as for what it really is, you know, and I'm seeing more and more that it's not an easy thing to try to get people to understand the power of the new birth, because we've put in the power of the new birth so much over into the Holy Spirit, we've forgotten what God has made us. You see, and I'm learning to appreciate the Holy Ghost more. Because I'm understanding more what God has done for me as a person or as an individual. But I got really discouraged and was going to back off. And finally God spoke to me. And I can see I'm not going to finish Mark 4. But God spoke to me and He said, you're right on the right track. Keep going the way you're going, you know, and not get discouraged. And finally, I think after I'd come back from Raymond, and I was sitting in the sauna with a Christian friend of mine, and he just opened his mouth and brought out all his garbage, and I was shocked because he was such a close individual with me and the Word of God, and I couldn't figure out where he picked up all this junk. I almost wanted to say, well, what about the new birth? I mean, aren't we born again, or what's the deal here? You know, and I got so discouraged when I left that sauna. I just told him, I said, hey, it's too hot in here. I got to get out of here. I'm melting away, you know. And that was just an excuse to get out from getting in this conversation with him, because I was about ready to rebuke him, and I didn't want to do that. So I go up to my hotel room, and I'm really discouraged. And finally, I said, God, I need some direction here. If I'm going off the deep end, I need your help. How many of you understand what I'm saying? How many of you ever really started getting some fresh insight of what God was doing to your life? You're getting some success in your own personal life, not so much for others, but yourself. And you begin to wonder, you know, doesn't anybody else see this stuff? I keep sharing with different pastors and different friends of mine. They look at me like a dog in a new pan. You know, they don't know what I'm talking about. You know what our problem is? We got too much church history. That's our problem. We got too much church history. We got too much of the glory of men trying to teach a church rather than the Holy Ghost taking His place. And so I just cried out to God, and I said, God, give me a dream. Give me a vision. Give me something. I mean, show me something. I mean, if I'm on the right track or what. And finally, here last week, I think it was a Wednesday or a Tuesday, Sue, was it? What day was it where I had that dream? I had this dream. Man, I just almost didn't want to come out of it. It was so beautiful. And in this dream, it was full color. No, I wasn't crazy. They say if you have colored dreams, you're crazy. But it was phenomenal. This dream was phenomenal. But I'm not going to go into the dream. But in that dream, God was showing me to stay right on course. Stay right on course where I'm at. And you know, things have got to change. Things have got to change for the church. This church, not just by His Word, but the church as a whole, we've got to get out of the rut that we're in. We're in a rut. And we got to get out of this rut. And God's starting to show me that there is a supernatural, there is the power that goes with the gospel. And that's what we've got to start going for, is this power. It's one thing to have a bunch of head knowledge, but another thing to have the power of God at work in our life. And I made a decision. God, I thank You that You've gotten me on the right track here. I thank You that You've gave confirmation. He gave confirmation to me. I'm not going to doubt that dream. If I would go to even doubt what He gave me in that dream or vision, I don't even know whether I was in body or out of body. I didn't know whether I had a heavenly experience or not. I couldn't tell. But I know that when I came out of the deep sleep that I was in, I felt like I hadn't been there. I felt like I was someplace else. But I sure felt the presence of God in my bedroom, and I almost woke Sue up. Sue said, well, why didn't you wake me up? Well, it was 3 a.m. You don't wake somebody up and say, hey, Jesus came, when they're half asleep, you know. But anyway, I thank God for that act of grace on my behalf, because it was such an encouragement to me. But this church, the church that we know now, this existing church, there has got to be something else greater for us to go towards than what this life has to offer. And just, you know, I have so many questions, you know. Like out of 1 John, it says, love not the world nor the things in it. But we're hearing messages about how to succeed in this natural life. And how, you know, where do you draw the line? Do we love this world? Do we desire things of it? Or do we kind of abandon it and just go for heavenly things like the church years ago? It was so faithless and dry and dead, you know. So you don't know where to put this balance in here. Are you following what I'm saying? And I even got to seeking the Lord. You know, how close is your return? How close is your return, God? You know, it's just something. Now, I don't even teach on end time events because since I come into this born again or this new birth thing, I have some more questions rather than all, you know, a bunch of things being solved. And I have much more questions. I am convinced of one thing. I am convinced of a rapture. I am convinced of it. I believe that the church will have to be taken out. Why am I convinced of that? Well, because of sonship, son placing, the new birth. That's an act of grace on our life. God's born, and God isn't going to amputate a part of the body of Christ just because he wants to pour wrath out on this earth. We haven't been reserved for wrath. How many of you know that? And so I do believe we're ambassadors for Christ. We're not of this world. When God's wrath begins to drop, I believe that he will take the church. Whether you believe in a rapture or not, it's none of your business because you're born of God anyway. He'll take you home as a son whether you like it or not. You'll like it once you get there, though, you know. But in the meantime, there's a job that we've got to do. And we can't do it with just fancy words. We can't do it, by going after the things of this life. We got to go after the people that are in this life. We got to go after souls and get them saved for Jesus. Like Kenny was saying, we got to go after the hearts of people and bring them into the kingdom of God with everything that's within us. But I got news for you. We're not going to do it just with elegant words and fancy speeches. We've got to be able to see an avenue where we can reach out. And we can evangelize them through the power of God. Hallelujah. And I thought it was very interesting when Kenny touched on praying for somebody. There's got to be a commitment to the church today. And I don't know how God's going to do that. I really don't know how he's going to do it. But he's going to get the church to come alive in his power. And you're going to start seeing more Christians fasting and praying. You're going to see it. Because God has put it in my heart strongly to do more fasting and more praying. Not just what little I've been doing now. But the church now has this attitude, well, we'll just keep our ministers occupied, you know. And so Satan says, just keep the ministers occupied. Make sure they go to the hospital. Make sure they do all this extracurricular activity so that they're not into prayer and they're not into fasting and they're not plugging into God. And so we try to delegate authority, and there are certain ones that don't want delegated authority. They want the authority. Are you following me? And I got news for you. You can't just always have your way. Sometimes we as ministers, we have to pull aside. We have to be in prayer and fasting. We have to set aside some time to be with God and God alone. Hallelujah. And sometimes you just have to delegate authority. But I know that this church is going to break out of whatever it's set in. It's going to break out. You know, I'm just speaking from heart now. We're going to break out as a church. I don't know how God's going to do that, but I think the miraculous is in store. Hallelujah. You know, Jesus said, he says, if you can't believe in what I say, at least for the work's sake. And I think we're going to start seeing the power of God like we've never seen before. I'm beginning to see that there's got to be a place we got to get out of this stuff. We got Christians now coming up for prayer, and I've felt and I'm knowing and I've seen the power of God heal them. And then they walk away and say, well, thank you, Panther, for praying. But do you not heal? Well, yeah, thank you. We don't come up and we don't expect what we need from God. And there's a dying call and they got disease ravaging their bodies. And they come into church and they get a fancy message. But what they want is somebody to be able to lay hands on them and say, be healed in the name of Jesus and rise up and walk out. Hallelujah. Are you following me? But we got to go for it. We got to go there and get it. It's available to us. But we got to go there to get it. Are you following me? I'll tell you what, the day of church being babysitting centers are going to come to an end. It's going to rise up, and you will not deny the power, and we will take from these churches that want to babysit people, and they'll come in the flood. Why? Because they want to get healed, they want to get delivered, and they want to get set free. Hallelujah. But it takes spiritual men to do this. It takes spiritual men to do it. And the church is basically dying on the vine, got complacent and indifferent. We can't even get some people to stay committed to their commitment. Why? Because of the cares of this world. The lust of other things coming and entering. And then we got half the church telling, well, how we grow spiritually is we got to get a hold of people in our lives or not even some, not even Christians to teach the church. My gosh, where have we rescinded to? Where have we gone to as a church? I think it's about time we sit down and wake up. Just quit doing something. Sit down and wake up. We're just running around trying to do something all the time. But I think it's time now we stop and we take a fresh look at our walk with God. And I'll tell you what. You're not going to serve God out of your soul and your body unless, first of all, you serve Him out of your spirit. You got to learn how to serve Him out of your spirit. And I'll tell you what, your spirit and your body, they don't agree. They just flat don't agree. I got news for you right now. They just flat don't agree. Spiritual things and physical things, they don't have much in agreement. We seem to think they do, but they don't. Okay, we're going to get right into Mark chapter 4. And I want you to pay close attention to this parable because it's powerful. In Mark chapter 4, I'm going to introduce it to you. Jesus is talking about the ground that the seed goes into. And he talks about two different types of ground here. And he gives a brief synopsis of this parable from verse 1 on down to about verse 13. He gives just a brief synopsis of this parable. And in verse 4, it talks about, as the seed fell onto the earth, it said that some of the seed fell in a way where the fowls of the air could come and devour that seed. Then he says, there are some that fell on stony ground where it had not much earth, and immediately sprang up because it had no depth of earth. So there was something hard beneath that surface. Then he talks about some of the seed being subject to the afflictions of the sun. In other words, the weather would destroy it. Then he said some of the seed would be choked out by thorns that grew up. But then he says in verse 8, but some fell on good ground. Good ground. And this good ground is what actually did something to the seed of God's word. In other words, the seed that fell on good ground produced 30, 60, 100 fold. But he talks about two types of ground, and I got news for you. I'm going to explain the two types of ground that this parable is covering. One is the ground of your natural life, your soul. That is one ground. And the good ground, the second ground, that is good ground, are you ready? Is referring to the spirit that God has given you. The spirit that God has given you. And this parable is referring to what the ground does to the seed. What the ground does to the seed. If you've got two types of ground in your life, now just using this as an example, and you got what you consider bad ground, it's got a lot of rocks, got a lot of thorns, there's a lot of trash in it, and then you've got a good lot, good ground, it's just fertile for growing things. How many of you know that if we got any brains at all, the thing that we would do is take the seed, which is God's word, we would take that seed and would we stuff it in the bad ground? Now, Christians are doing that. They'll take the seed of God's word and they could care less what ground it goes into. They just stuff it, and usually in the wrong ground. They'll stuff that seed in the wrong ground and expect the fruit to come out of that thing. Well, if I'm going to get good seed, the first thing I want to do with seed, and we got plenty of it right here, seed right here, I'd be looking to take this seed and put it into good ground. How about you? Amen. The problem is we don't know how to plant it in our ground. We don't know how to plant the seed of God's ground. We don't know how to plant the seed in our spirit. And that's what Mark 4 tells you, the results of planting the seed of God's word in the right ground. You know what the fowls of the air? They're people. That when you hear the word of God right away, there are people. They're likened unto birds or the fowls. They'll come immediately and snatch that word right out of you. Now, you don't really believe in speaking in tongues. They passed away. Or they're of the devil. Whatever. That's a fowl taking the seed from your life. Or some of you haven't really got the revelation yet. There's some hard ground in you. Hard. You couldn't love if somebody put love on your forehead and then crowned you with a fairy wand and said, love, ping. You would think it was hate. You're so hard. You're hard with people. You're hard with your children. You're hard with friends. I meant you just flat hard. And some of you, you could care less about God's Word. Just whatever the church has got for me, I'm into my thing. You got the cares of the Word. You got thorns in your life. You got things choking the Word of God. You're just not interested in God all that much. You just preach it to me, brother, and I'll just go my way. Cares of this world, things that just sidetrack you. But I got news for you. When it comes to your inner man, and you learn how to put the seed of God's Word in that good ground that's on the inside. And every one of you have good ground when you're born again. If you're not born again, then you don't have good ground. All you got's bad ground. But when you get born again, you got good ground. Why? You got a spirit now that is born of God that can comprehend God's Word. The trouble is you have to learn how to plant the seed in that ground and leave your physical man out of the picture. You know what God told me? He said 99.9% of the church thinks that they have the ability to all teach. They think they have the ability to teach themselves. God told me, He says, less than 1% really has the qualifications to teach the body of Christ. And yet we haven't submitted ourselves or humbled ourselves to God for the true teachers to begin to watch over our souls and put the right understanding in us so we know where to put the seed in the good ground. We want to determine within ourselves who's qualified to teach. Yet that's why I've always surrendered myself to God for my mentors. I know the ones He says stay away from and not pay attention to. Because if you just listen to anybody or anything, guess what? That will be added to you. Mark 4 says so. And boy, if something's added to you that shouldn't be added to you, ooh, hoo, hoo, hoo. So Mark 4 is a brief synopsis from 1 to 13. Verse 1 through 13, brief synopsis. Then from 14 to 19, it talks about the first ground. And then from verse 20 on through to about verse 34 is the good ground. So we've got the bad ground and the good ground defined. And so that's where we're going to go next Sunday. How many of you got something here this morning? Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God.